The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Well, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Ann Hirsch.
Yes.
And we had two wonderful guests on. We had we just finished with Joanne Smith, who was the CEO of Planned Parenthood. And earlier we had Ann Hirsch on, who is also my co-host, in reference to speech pathology. Now we have a man that doesn't ever have a speech written for him.
Okay? That is true.
I know that. We have Angelo Farrar, who's a councilman from the town of North Hempstead. And I was at his installation in January, and he did. He got up very eloquently and mentioned that he doesn't, which I think is the best way to do things. Just talk. If it's honest and it's on your mind, say it.
Yeah, it's something that I just can't do. I have never written a speech. If it's not in my heart, it's not coming out of my mouth. And it just bothers me, you know, when people write things down that maybe they really don't believe, but they're trying to push on other people, and I have a problem with that.
Right, I agree.
You know, I think, you know, even at the inauguration, my wife just before that says, what are you going to say? I said, I have no idea.
When you get up, you'll figure it out.
Whatever comes out of my mouth, comes out of my mouth.
I think the worst ones are when they're reading. And now I'm about to say it's very important that we got to get to the next page. It's important that what? When they get to the next page, it's like you don't even have the flow of the idea in your head.
But think of what people on the receiving end of that think.
Oh, that's why I'm very conscious of it. It's like, you're wasting my time.
Absolutely. So, but that started a long time ago in business. You know, and actually I had to make a speech when I first became a branch manager and worked for Xerox. And I wrote the speech, and I'm reading, and I'm trying to memorize it, and I'm rehearsing it. And if at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I just got so disgusted, I threw the recorder down. I said, that's it. I don't care. When I go in there, whatever I say is what I say. And then it's been like that since then.
Terrific. So, what I want to do is, before we talk about the town itself, you said you were a manager. And where did you start, and how did you wind up becoming a councilman?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. Actually, I was a couch potato coming home from Manhattan working, riding the railroad back. All I wanted to do was sit and relax, and my wife dragged me to a meeting. And since that time, what happened basically was when Ben Zorin was the supervisor at the time, they were trying to put group homes, unfortunately, for criminally insane drug abusers right near a school. And I had a major problem with that. And now we're not dealing, you know, I don't have a problem with group homes.
Right.
But this one I did by a school. And so I went to a meeting, and what they did was they locked everybody out of the meeting with the exception of 250 people that were inside. There were 700 people outside that were more affected by it than the people that were inside. So I got really upset, and the police were there, and there were people were there. And I'm saying, this is ridiculous. We can't get in there. And the police said, no, you can't. I said, well, it's nonsense. You have 700 people out. I said, if you don't go in there and get whoever's running this thing out here now, we're going to come right through you. So and I'm really like inciting the group. So Ben Zorin came out and he said, what's going on? I said, well, you're going to cancel this meeting. You're going to have one that's going to take place where you can accommodate everybody here so they have a voice and their voice gets heard. And Newsday had a picture of me putting my finger in his chest on the front page the next day. And the group that were there decided they were going to create a civic association, and I became president of that civic association. So I was actually on TV. And
which civic association?
Greater Herricks.
Okay.
But I was on TV attacking both parties. You know, this is something about the people. It's not about parties.
Okay.
And so I had all
elected. Which is your style anyway.
Yeah, that is my style. It absolutely is. But we actually won that issue, and it was not put near the school. But both parties at that time wanted me to run for office, and I said no for 5 years because that wasn't really part of my plan. But when I looked at some of what was going on and learned a little bit more, I said somebody's got to be there to help the people. And so I decided that I was going to run and again, still take on who I need to take on.
Right.
To make sure that the people are protected.
And this is your fourth term?
This is my fifth term.
It's a fifth term? Okay, yeah. Wow. Oh, you've been there 16 years already?
Yeah, it'll be 20.
Okay, I thought this was, okay, yeah. When you, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so it was an interesting run. So I blame my wife, actually, for dragging me to that meeting. But again, you know, it's something that I keep doing it now because when people come and knock on my door, they need help, especially seniors and vets. How can I not do that?
Right,
if you look at the back of my business card, there's my home address because people have problems on weekends and I want them to know where I live and how to get in touch with me.
Okay. So.
It's interesting because your professional career was with Xerox.
Yes.
And you transitioned in this direction, and so much of you is altruistic in that I can see also you're involved with the cancer research organizations and Alzheimer's disease and the Sons of Italy. Whoa.
Little League, 17 years managing Little League.
Oh, my God. You are truly a leader.
Well, you know, I care about the people. I care about the community. And I think that's what we need more of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if you look at what we have right now, we have an aging population. And who's going to be there for our residents? We need to be there. They're looking for us. They're counting on us. And we need to do all we can to help. And that's how Project Independence was born and continued to grow. And new programs were added. So it's something that... that's a special place in my heart for our vets and our seniors.
And it's a phenomenal
role
model.
Angela goes back
model.
To the beginning of Project Independence.
Yeah. Project Independence.
You and Lee.
Yes.
Right, okay.
And he's a wonderful example of what Project Independence we can look for of staying active and part of the community in a very productive fashion.
Absolutely. I mean, the town of North Hempstead has approximately 250,000 people, so it's not small.
Right.
But it should be run, and it is, like a small government. And it should be a person, when you go to church or you go to the synagogue, wherever you're going, not religiously, but just for a meeting or something, the people should know you.
Absolutely.
There's Angelo. And then you see you on the ball field, or they see you in the supermarket. You have to be accessible. And they'll walk up and say, Angelo, something or other, which is your style, but it should be most people's style. And the ones that don't do that...
Yeah.
Don't get reelected.
I also have five kids, so I wanted to get out of the house.
Oh.
No, actually, I have five kids, but I wanted to be the example for them. And I wanted to be able to, because even in business, I never asked anybody, regardless of what level I ever achieved, I never asked anybody to do anything I wouldn't do myself. So when I look at my children, I want to be that example, so that if I see somebody going astray or not doing what I think they should be doing for the community, I can say, hey, look, I've done it. You need to do that. So rather than just telling them to do that, if I'm that example, hopefully they turns them and their mindset a little on to help.
Wow, very nice.
Yeah, you know what? It was that movie, Working Girl.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw it.
I
did. When she got the big job at the end and like all that confusion with the coffee.
Yeah.
But that is a philosophy. I mean, I believe the same thing. I mean, if I'm going to get a cup of coffee, do you want one?
Yeah.
And next time you get it for me. Let's not be
absolutely.
Stupid about this stuff.
You know, when I took over Long Island as a branch manager, and I think I was the youngest branch manager in Xerox, we had a big dinner dance at the Crest Hollow.
Okay.
And this was the first time we had husbands and wives and all spouses and girlfriends, whatever, boyfriends, come to this dinner. And I was sitting at this table, and there were probably about 500 people there. And one of the women next to me said to me, who I would have been her husband's boss's boss. And she turned around and she says, you know what's great about you? And I said, nothing. It's my wife. She'll tell you. There was nothing great about me. Trust me. She says, no, if a stranger walked in today, they wouldn't know you're in charge of everybody here, because you never let anybody feel like you're better than them. I said, you know why? I'm not better than anybody in this room. And I really believe that. And if you believe that, you don't put yourself on this pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
You put yourself in with everybody else, so you're really there and committed to making sure that whatever you need to do, you do it.
And my mind, with that philosophy, then it gets done too.
Exactly.
The work gets done. It's out of respect for you.
Yeah.
They're not afraid of you, because if they're afraid of you, they're going to do something, but it's not going to be right.
No, you're absolutely
right.
The
fear doesn't work.
Absolutely.
You know, and if they're doing it for you, it gets done.
Yeah, but you know what? I want to make sure that they're all part of the solution. Mm-hmm. So rather than me dictate as a branch manager, me dictating what it was going to be,
right.
I did something a little bit different. I grabbed everybody at the lowest levels, and I said, you guys are going to come up with the solutions. We're going to roll them up and roll them up and roll them up. And whatever you come up with, whether your managers agree with it or not, or I agree with it or not, it's going to be implemented. And we did that.
Okay, interesting.
As you're speaking, you're reminding me somewhat of an interview I had the privilege of. John will vouch for this. We had an assembly person in for the Great Neck area. Do you recall that particular interview? He also has an Italian background.
Oh, Tony.
Yes.
Tony D'Urso.
Yes. Also, that kind of philosophy. Do you know each other?
Sure.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We were on the
same
board
together.
Because
it seems like this would be a really balanced kind of thing, in that you're also involved in so many different things, and yet talking to you is so down to earth and so nice to be able to balance and have harmony, which makes you more comfortable in speaking to someone.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of the problem, is that people in elected positions sometimes think they're above everybody else. And if they think that, they're going to behave like that. And if they behave like that, you're building a wall between yourself and the people you're supposed to represent. I don't want any walls. I want people to know exactly where I am and who I am so that they feel comfortable in talking to me about problems they might have, and we work together to help come up with solutions.
Because you're not going to be able to solve everybody's problem.
No.
But at least they have to have the feeling that you tried, and you did honestly. Guess what? I'm doing my best. I can't help you. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't be friends. I can't help you on this one.
But you know what? I've been pretty fortunate in that I haven't had to say that too often.
Okay.
You know, because as a business person, I look for solutions, and I don't give up. And we had an issue locally with Dom's Deli. I don't know if you're familiar with the issue.
I know Dom's Deli, but I don't know what happened there.
Well, what happened was the town put a padlock on his door.
Really?
Because he was cooking food that shouldn't have been cooked there. And that's not even in my district, by the way. It's across the street. But they called me up, and he was crying. So I got the town to take
the It's a phenomenal deli.
It is. And it provides a great service to all the seniors, especially seniors and veterans. If they don't have the money, he gives them the food for nothing. And he's such a big-hearted man. So then he was getting ticketed, and we stopped it. I said, you know, you need to go to court, take this action, and the ticketing will stop. And I spoke to the town attorney, and the town attorney said, look, Angelo, I know you want to do the right thing. I know you want to help this person. You're not an attorney. And I'm telling you, legally, there's no way you can do it. And I said, well, all that means to me is it's going to take me a little longer.
Right, okay.
And it took me 2 years, and we now made him legal. And he's there providing the service that he needs to provide to the community, and everybody wins. So I don't believe that there's much we can't do. We just have to find a different approach.
Okay.
Whether that's helping seniors or whether it's helping our veterans or anybody, children in the community, we can find it.
And as Steve Israel, who I happen to have heard this week since he is out speaking with people as well, said, I'm probably one of the few elected individuals who has not been indicted. Right. Can you imagine? So I assume you have not been indicted on your part of his club.
But isn't that a sad commentary?
Yes, right.
I mean, I went to a senior citizen function. It's a true story. And I was going around, and when I go to the senior centers, I go to every table, and I personalize something with everybody. You know, like I'll kiss the women, and I'll shake the guys' hands, and we'll joke around and talk. But I make it personal. And one woman says to me, Angelo, you're too nice a guy. Why did you get into politics? And I said, I got sucked into it. My wife did this. It wasn't me, okay? She says,
next time we have to have her on the radio.
Exactly, right? So she says to me, so this woman says to me, well, is there a career path? And I said, well, yeah, unfortunately, I said, you know, you start out with a party, and you work for the party, regardless of which one it is. You let your intentions be known. You get active in the community. You do something. Then you maybe run for office, and then you run for higher office, then you run for higher office, and then you wind up in jail. I mean, it's that's the career path. Yeah. I said, and that's really sad.
You get 3 meals a day for the rest of your life.
Well, that's even worse, because some people that do that wind up getting a pension.
Well,
and so we're still paying for it. I mean, it's ridiculous. But the point is that we really have a responsibility once you're an elected official to do the right thing.
Right.
And I looked down, and I gave up over $300,000 a year as a work in private sector for a $30,000 councilman job. And my mother and father were looking down from heaven saying, what a financial genius we raised. Okay, eventually he'll be bankrupt. But you know what? It was something that I got pushed into. But once I got in there and I saw how many people need so much help, and unfortunately, too many politicians are very superficial. They don't really follow through. You know, if it's something that looks good and they can get some publicity out of it, they'll take the action. If it's something that requires work or controversy, they back off. Well, I don't do that. Those are the ones that I'll jump in.
Okay.
Somebody's got to help those people. Somebody's got to make things happen. And that's just my calling. And I'm doing this now. I'm going to be 74 in July.
Wow.
And I, quite honestly, I remember my wife saying to me, you know, maybe 65, it's time to retire. So, but how do I turn my back on people?
Right.
Until I can find somebody that thinks like I do.
I agree with what you're saying.
To my position.
And you feel like you're letting people down.
Yeah, I have to be there.
We're going to have to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.